One of the most challenging things for a parent is when their child should be performing and he or she is not performing. We're going to talk about that this week on Parenting on Purpose.
And that was Dr. Bob Barnes from Sheridan House Family Ministries. I'm your host, Ruthie J, and this week we have a special guest, another doctor in the room, Dr. Monica Schulke. It's good to have you here. Now, Dr. Barnes, what is the connection here?
Well, we're friends, but Monica also, and we're going to do Monica and Bob in here just to shorten it, but we'll call you Dr. Okay, Ruthie. It's Dr. Ruthie. Dr. Ruth. We're going to call you Dr. Ruth. Yes.
Maybe not.
But Monica is a friend, a co-professional, but also has a very awesome niche here at Sheridan House and in the community of being a Christian who also does testing just to help us know what we're dealing with, children we deal with or in the counseling center or in schools. I would say Monica, she would deny this, but I say Monica is the top referral in the Christian school community here in South Florida.
Now, what kind of testing then, to clarify?
Basically, we focus on anything that's school related. Usually the referrals are school related. A kid who's having issues not performing up to his potential, smart kids who struggle a lot of times, or kids who just can't do what they're being asked to do. So school isn't designed to be torture. It's not designed to be brutal for the average learner. And so most of the kids that we see are having issues in school performing.
Mm-hmm. It's a box, isn't it? School's kind of a box. And if you don't fit perfectly in the box, it doesn't work.
Yeah, it's not created for every child, and it's not designed for to meet every kid's need.
Right. And there are so many different learning ways, too. I have a friend who's starting new concepts in her homeschool, and she's being asked by other people to help put new ways of teaching kids in visual and using textures.
Multimodal. Yep.
Exactly. So that's changing as well. But like you say, school's not supposed to be a chore.
It's not for parents or children.
But it is.
Yeah, it is for
both. That was spoken like a mom right there.
It is. You get the science projects and all those things coming home, or any project, and you're like, you need what?
It's almost like the education system is one of the few things that hasn't changed. It's stayed with what we might refer to as the classical form. I know it's not. There is a classical form of education, and it's moved a little bit away from that. But still, there is the classical student who's going to do well, not necessarily well in life, but well in the system. And rather than the whole educational system moving with the child or children or culture as it's moved, it's stayed pretty much the same. And we're wondering why children aren't performing that ought to be performing. And that's kind of what you do, isn't it, Monica?
Absolutely. It's kids who struggle, who should be doing well. It's obvious that they're smart, that they've got some power to do what they're being asked to do. But at the same time, they're not performing either in school or in some other area of their life, whether it be they don't have friends or they are not behaving the way they're supposed to, or they're anxious or sad or something else is going on. They're not able to do their job.
Sometimes, though, we just think they're just lazy, though.
Absolutely. Right? A lot of parents. I have parent after parent come in and say, my kid's just lazy. They should be able to do this. Why can't they? And you want to say that because you can see them perform in other areas and then they're not doing their schoolwork. But more often than not, kids don't wake up in the morning and say, I'm going to go fail a test, or I'm not going to turn in my homework just because it's fun. You know, usually kids who struggle, there's something going on. There's something, whether it's, you know, social, emotional, behavioral, academic, something is going on.
So what are like the basic components? I mean, school is just one part of life. And we've always said on the program that I don't care if you get straight A's, I care that you give your best, right? Now, that's just for school, but we also apply that into many other areas.
Don't you think we say that, but most parents, especially moms, don't believe that?
Yes.
Because because mom's report card is the child's report card, which makes it challenging, doesn't it?
Right. Absolutely. But in order to that statement, do your best, you have to know what the child's best is. And so one of the key components in any testing is knowing what the child is capable of. Just because you have an achievement score, an academic reading, writing, or math score, if that's all the child is capable of, a C may be the child's best, but then knowing and being able to accept that, you know, to create reasonable expectations is a big benefit of doing testing and getting information about how your child learns, because then you have a baseline. You can create reasonable expectations. If your child should be making A's, if your child has a gifted IQ and they're not performing gifted, something's wrong. Something is not matching up. And so that's some of what we look at.
What are some other areas in a child's life that you can kind kind of see other factors or other
warning lights.
Mm-hmm. Well, like I said, if a kid doesn't interact appropriately with peers, if they're not making good relationships, and mainly peer relationships, sometimes they do much better with older kids and younger kids, but they can't connect with their peers. That's a red flag for something going on. And there's a lot of different reasons why that could be. There's, you know, kids aren't behaving, or they behave perfectly in school and then they get home and they fall apart. Mm. They're just, you know, they hold it together all day and then they have nothing left to give. So they get home and then they tantrum or they have meltdowns or whatever the case may be. So behavior or emotional regulation, even in the absence of any major trauma or anything, average or better parenting, no major trauma, life is pretty good for this kid. And they still have issues. They still have difficulty either performing in school or making friends. Or
so you're saying basically there's no guarantees.
There are no guarantees.
And you might just have a child God has entrusted you with that has a challenge in their performance.
Absolutely. And we like to think of it as there are certain factors that contribute to your ability to do your job. Okay. From one place is the cognitive skills or your thinking skills. So you have to be able to think with words. You have to be able to think in pictures. You have to have the ability to hold information that comes in through your ears. Just hold it and get it back out. So the teacher says, take out the blue book, turn it to page 42 and do 16 problems. And the kid says, what book? Could be attention. You have to be able to hold that information in order to get it done. Mm-hmm. You have to be able to move at the speed that everybody's moving. You have to keep up the pace so that you can show how smart you are in a time constraint. You have to be able to process sounds. Assuming your ears work, if your brain doesn't manage the sounds, you're not going to be a good listener by design. Doesn't mean you have an attention problem. It means you have an auditory processing problem. You don't manage sounds. You have to be able to manage a pencil. You have to, you know, your eyes and your hands have to work together appropriately. So those are cognitive skills. That's the way you come into the world. That's how God made you. There's not a lot that can be done with that. The other factor is wiring. Another way that God created us, you know, where you could be wired to be impulsive or wired to be distractible or wired to be anxious, doesn't mean you're stuck there, but you have to work harder with a kid who's wired to be impulsive.
I'm thinking of the mom thinking, oh, please, my child is wired this way.
Well, but then there's the third component, which is the one that everybody can influence. And that's, you know, it's called a bunch of different things, but it's just teaching your kid how to postpone gratification. And these are the things you guys focus on, you know, more often than not, postponing gratification, understanding and labeling your own emotions. What am I feeling? How does, you know, knowing what I'm feeling so that I can then describe it will help, you know, managing your emotions. I'm feeling this. How do I, you know, I'm unhappy. I could tantrum or I could use my words and explain that. Mm-hmm. You know, understanding the emotions of other people. I mean, those are all things that can be taught. Mm-hmm. They might be a little harder to teach to one kid than another, but they can be taught. And then, you know, modifying your behavior, adjusting to the situation, because you have to adjust for what's appropriate. So, you know, going back to what you said, yeah, there are no guarantees. Average or better parenting, no major trauma. Your child may still have some factors that make it harder, but it doesn't make it impossible. There are lots of things that can be done.
Mm-hmm. So I'm doing third grade for the second time. This is the Bobby Barnes story. Did third grade, it just wasn't happening. And the skills you had to have in third grade, I couldn't care less about. And I go home and my mom's crying all the time. And we got tutors in there to get me through. And I'm killing the tutors. I'm not disrespectful. I'm not a behavioral problem. I'm just not interested. You kidding me? I've just been in school trying to sit still. And now you got me home first thing sitting at a desk because of my high performing dad and my amazingly nurturing mom. And so it doesn't work. And we do third grade a second time. And down the street from us is Dr. Aviva Sayers. Three houses down, Dr. Aviva Sayers was a psychiatrist and took an interest in me. I don't know whether I was a client and didn't know it or whatever, but I would wander down and play with her kids. And she took a huge interest in me and talked to my mom about, I know you're trying to handle him, but you couldn't handle him worse than the way you're handling him. There's a better way to handle him. And she handled me with praise instead. Mm-hmm. And she would look for the effort and give me praise and look for the effort and give me praise. You know, granted, my second time in third grade, but it's rolling. And I spent the first 2 weeks embarrassed because my friends are all sitting over there with the fourth graders and I'm sitting with the third graders, although I'm taller than everybody in third grade. So that was kind of a cool moment. but watching and realizing, and they set up the system system for affirmation because I didn't fit in the box. Mm-hmm. I just didn't fit in their box to get there and do, you know, they had four reading groups and I was my own number four. It was just me and the volunteer. Look at the pain on her face just hearing the story. It's hilarious. But all of a sudden being managed in a different way for me, because everybody's different. Mm-hmm. You know, you can ridicule me, come after me. I don't hear that. I don't know who you're talking to. Because I like me. I'm cool with me. The fourth group was the one I aspired to, group number four. Right. And so getting the affirmation from my farmer mom was amazing for me. And she got Mrs. Kupferman, the Manuf. These are the only people I remember. I remember Mrs. Kupferman, my second fourth grade teacher, because she got it. She just got it. And she and my mom worked up this system of, I'm proud of you, Bobby. I'm proud of you, Bobby. That was great. I had my own desk next to the teacher's desk, mm-hmm. you know, but I think, tell you the truth, I'm the one taking notes to the office. I think I'm special.
Right.
And I am special in a different way, but I think I'm special taking notes to the office.
Perception.
Yes. Yes. And even though I take notes to the office and wander off, you know, but I eventually make it back to the class.
Right.
I think it's discovering everybody doesn't fit. I went off to college to wrestle. And when I got off to college to wrestle, I couldn't keep my weight at the weight I needed to be. And they were terrified for me after wrestling season when we hit the spring. So they put me in track just to keep my weight down. And I couldn't just keep my weight down. I had to find an event. You know, I'm not just running with the track team. And they first put me in pole vaulting, which was a disaster. And then they put me over with the javelin throw, and I almost killed myself with the javelin. And then the final thing was the intermediate hurdles. And my legs are too short for a hurdler. But when I finally got it, this doesn't define me. I'm just here working out and I'm hearing my mom's praise. This performance doesn't define me. Just do your best. Then I got it. Was I ever great on the track team? No, I never won anything in history on the track team, but it kept my weight down for the next season. I think what we're talking about this week is helping moms have hope, helping moms know, moms and dads, but mom's report card is the child's report card for some reason, and helping her realize your child's different. He's not worse. He's just different. And we're helping the child battle against some natural inclinations. I had a natural inclination that if I couldn't get it right away, forget it. Right. And helping me battle against that natural inclination. I had a natural inclination to be looking around and miss all the instructions for what we're supposed to be doing here today. And so Monica helps people. This testing helps. Okay, this is what you're dealing with. This is why you have to get his little face and look him in the eye and say, this is what I need for mm-hmm. you to do, and to help the whole team that's working with the child from mom and dad on, mm-hmm. because frustration and the pronouncement loudly of frustration mm-hmm. with me shuts me down right. completely. Fine. You're right. I'm a loser. The classroom's already validated that. My report card validates that, and just helping me.
Right. And so many, you know, for so many kids, school is the only thing they're measured by. Really, unless they're amazing athletes, usually, or talented musicians, school is really the main thing that they're measured by. And so when you can't do your job, when you can't do the one thing you're being measured by, you're not going to be a very happy person, you know, or you'll act out or things just fall apart. And, you know, as Bob stated, confidence will breed more success. So building, you know, it's not all about praising everything, but praising where it's appropriate will make such a difference in building confidence, which then the kid wants to work harder. They're going to want to perform if there's a reason. But if I had to go to a job every day I wasn't very good at, I'd hate it. I wouldn't want to do it either.
Mm-hmm. I had to have a person who believed in me. And I think that's what we're helping parents with this mm-hmm. week. Helping a mom or a dad or anybody who works with kids believe in this child regardless of performance.
You're listening to Parenting on Purpose with Dr. Bob Barnes from Sheridan House Family Ministries and special guest Dr. Monica Schulke. We're going to be talking more this week about understanding your child's lack of performance and tackling issues like ADHD and other learning disabilities. So hope you can join us for the rest of the week. And you can always hear these programs again. Share them with friends online at parentingonpurpose.org. Or you can also find a lot of parenting resources to help you out, and all the proceeds go to help the children's homes at Sheridan House Family Ministries. That's online at shfm.org. We hope you join us tomorrow for more on Understanding My Child's Lack of Performance on Parenting on Purpose.